And the committee administrator will gather together the participants that we talked about in the testimonies. Okay, and we will open a public hearing on House Bill 3365. And we will call Jim Scherzinger and is Ozzie Rose out there somewhere? He's signed up for this.
I think he took off.
He sent him a note and he took off.
I don't think we voted since you're.
Okay, good.
Mr. Scherzinger, welcome.
Jim Scherzinger, Portland Public Schools. The bill you have before you, I hesitate to even talk about because it's a little complicated. Perhaps more complicated than it needs to be, but I'm going to take a shot at it. Let me describe what happens now in this situation. It begins with a student that's in a state program, say something like the deaf or blind school. Say you have a student that's been enrolled in the deaf school. Under the law, the state bills a portion of the cost of that student back out to local ESDs or back to local districts. And what happens under that billing is that you calculate the average cost of a net operating expenditure per student in the ESD, say it's something like $4,500 a kid. They're billed back $4,500 a kid for that student in the deaf school. The ESD takes the money from the county school fund. So let's say you have a kid in the deaf school. The bill goes out for $4,500. The bill is paid by the ESD from the county school fund. So $4,500 comes out of the county school fund and comes to the state. When the county school fund then is reduced by $4,500, that means that the local school districts in the area will get $4,500 less when the remainder of the county school fund is distributed. So collectively, the local school districts in that county are going to get $4,500 less. When they get $4,500 less, that means that they have $4,500 less local revenue under the state school fund formula, which means the loss effectively is made up under the state school fund formula with state school fund money. So you have this circular thing going on here where the state is billing, the payment is made out of the county school fund, it reduces the revenue of the local school district ultimately, and it's made up out of the state school fund. Well, you don't actually put more money into the state school fund for this, so the real effect of that is to spread those costs statewide amongst all school districts when it's made up by the state school fund. And that's pretty much what happens now under the current system. In most cases, when these billings are made, there's enough money in the county school fund to make the payment. The payment is made, the revenue is reduced, the cost is passed on statewide. There have been isolated instances where the funds have been insufficient and then the local school district had to pay without any makeup, but by and large that's what's happened. What's going to happen next year is that under Measure 50 we eliminated one of the sources of revenue to the county school fund. There is a requirement in the law that expires at the end of this year that counties contribute to the county school fund, a fixed amount of money. And that goes away at the end of this year. And when that occurs, some county school funds immediately, and probably a number of them eventually, there will not be enough money in the county school fund to make these payments. And what happens when that occurs is that the bill is sent directly to the local school district, and the local school district has to pay it. And it's not offset against their state. They don't get any reduction in revenue to offset it in the state school fund, and so they end up paying the cost rather than that cost being spread statewide through the state school fund. So what will happen without a change in the law is that in those areas where the county school funds are still adequate, the net effect of these costs are going to be spread statewide amongst all school districts, and in those areas where the county school fund is inadequate, the local school district's going to get stuck with the cost without spreading it statewide. Now, that's something that isn't happening now, generally. It won't happen at all this year. But next year, it will happen. I think the estimate I saw here from the revenue office was $1.2 million. Next year, local school districts, particularly in Multnomah County, will be stuck with these costs. Everybody else will be able to spread their statewide, but in Multnomah County, they'll be stuck with them, and they won't be able to spread them statewide. And what this bill does is allow them to all be spread statewide through the state school fund by simply taking it directly from the state school fund instead of passing it through the mechanism of taking it out of the county school fund. That's what the bill does. It's, I guess, evident why Portland Public Schools would support it. But fundamentally, it's a fairness issue. I believe Ozzie was going to come from COSA in support of the bill.
Is there an impact on the general fund?
There would be no impact on the general fund of the state.
So then the money from the state then is going to come from the common school fund? Is that where it comes from?
What's happening here is that the state is billing the county school fund, in effect, and getting its funds directly. And all that would happen here is that when the county school funds are inadequate, they would take the money out of the state school fund. So the state program will still get the revenue. Now, what you could say, if you want to think about it this way, is the state is paying for both of these programs. They're paying for the deaf school and these other programs that are state responsibility programs, and they're putting money into the state school fund. And all you're really doing here is, I mean, you could just take the money out of the state school fund originally and just give it to the program without doing all these billings. You'd have the same effect. But the state is coming out whole here. There's no effect on the state general fund one way or the other. It's just a question of where the money comes from and how it's passed around from one actor to another so that you end up with the same effect as the current system. I don't know, Frank.
Mr. Chair, Frank McNamara, COSA. We think this is a good bill, and it's a bill that is fair in terms of its representation and the spread of the cost around the state on these bills. Jim knows more about this stuff than I do, I'm sure, but the representation, if you heard it as I heard it, that Multnomah County was either the only or the primary county to be affected is not accurate. I think they may have been the first one up, but I don't know if you have a revenue impact on this or not, but I think there are other counties. This says Multnomah and a minor impact on Malheur. But out in the future, I mean, part of what we're looking at is what will happen not just in the next 2 years, but the next four, the next six, the next eight. And as you look out in the future, more and more of the county school funds are going to be dry in terms of being able to cover this bill. So this would have the effect of spreading the cost of these youngsters across all the whole school funding pot. And it would come out of the state school funds, so the impact on the state general fund would be zero. The impact on other school districts, that is, if it comes out of the state school fund, whatever that level of funding is you know, pennies to dollars to tens of dollars, depending on the amount. But the impact will be on sharing that cost across all school districts.
Which is essentially preserving the current system.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Scherzinger, does this ESD problem affect the ESD equity solutions that are being talked about in the revenue side of the building?
Mr. Chair, Representative Knopf, no. There's no direct connection or indirect connection I know of at all.
I can't imagine what it would do.
And second question would be, you talked about this as a fairness issue. Are you going to come back and be supporting equity, bringing equity to ESD funding for all districts?
I think Portland Public Schools has supported it all along.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Knopf, there's a plan in the making now. I don't know whether you've been a part of those discussions, but
I have.
That I believe has a fair amount of support among your colleagues, and we're COSA certainly is on board with that. The ESDs, the ESD Association is on board with that. So there is a plan that I think has been developed to address the issue of equity. Mind you, that issue, it's in another committee, but that issue is the issue that is out there in terms of solution. The first piece of it is a bridge issue. How do we get from here to the next biennium? It's a bridge issue of cost and the equity of the funding for that two-year period. The big issue, the second piece, the big issue is, as far as we're concerned, and that is the establishment of a study group that will look at ESDs or at regional services rather than ESDs, at regional services, and see what the core services should be and really develop a plan that is more up-to-date and current in terms of what the needs are for local districts from regional service delivery.
Do we think equity for ESD is going to get out of this, get before this committee? I don't know.
Just to add to that, I think the biggest service that ESDs do statewide is special education. And all districts statewide are being pressed on special education. In fact, that's a nationwide problem. And I don't believe you can really talk about equity between and among school districts or ESDs without getting a much better handle on the special education finance problems. And I think a big part of what that work group will be to work through some of those issues. I mean, I realized that a lot more today from having to pore over the ESD budget and seeing a school board try to wrestle with costs that seem to keep going up and driven by mandates that they have little control over. It's a very frustrating thing, and I think that's a big part of that discussion.
May, Mr. Chair, feels a lot like, I'm sure, a state legislator looking at school funding and wondering what drives salaries.
Right.
And school boards are looking at it and saying, you know, what drives the cost here? And we see these special ed, special student services that are really outside our control. And we don't, you do have some ways to put some brackets around that, and there are three or four ideas that have been before this body, this session, that might help with that. But in terms of the local district on the special ed cost, there's very little that the local district has or that the state has control over to bracket that those increasing costs. I think you took one step today. I wasn't as familiar with it. I think Jim Green was probably here. I don't know if he testified on the bill that had to do with kind of harmonizing the new Fed IDEA rules with state rules and how far you would go with that, and whether you'd add anything more than the rules currently require, and that sort of thing. Those are things that you do get to say something about to help contain some of those costs.
Any other questions? We don't have 6 I votes on the committee this afternoon, so.
We're very patient.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3365. And if there's nothing more to come before the committee, we will adjourn again Tuesday or Friday at 2 o'clock. We're adjourned.
Yeah, I think we all agreed there weren't enough people here.
You pretty good. What?
I don't think we all agreed there weren't enough people here to vote.
All right.
Yeah. Got to get